This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning. This is The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. The investment banking business is becoming increasingly competitive. And in light of global economic volatility and central banks tilting dovish, things might just get tougher. Today, I'm speaking to Lee Jim Leng, the Group Managing Director of Hong Leong Investment Bank, a subsidiary of Hong Leong Financial Group. Welcome to the show, Jim Leng.
Welcome, Roshan.
Okay, so let's break down the current businesses that you are in. Let's start with debt markets, because that is one of your biggest components of your business. And from what I hear, that's one of your particular specialties. The debt market business was about 45% of business in 2018. Mm-hmm. It was about 34% in 2017. So obviously, we're seeing some growth there. And you were number one on the RAM 2018 league table. Tell us, Jim Leng, what's behind this strength in this business?
I think the debt markets component, I mean, even if you look at global asset allocation, fixed income has always been one of the biggest asset class for asset allocation. The key is about coming up with solutions rather than products. You see, those days back in the early 90s, people talk about product championing. Product championing has now gone off. And today, people talk about relationship championing. Right? Mm-hmm. All banks have restructured themselves. And whether you look at the big brackets like CIMB, Maybank, most of them are relationship champions now. Why? Because, you know, if you let the product champions do the marketing, most people will just market their own product without really looking at the client's needs in general, right? So if I'm a loan syndication head, I'll market a loan. I won't bother about the bonds, but maybe that's what the client needs, right? Because mm-hmm. if you have a long gestation project, maybe you need a bond after all. That's where the capital markets are so important. It caters to the longer projects where the banks are not good in funding very long term, but the bond markets are deep enough that you can go very long, right? I mean, those days we talk about most bonds being 3 to 5 years, but today we have gone so far out that you can have 20-year bond, 25-year bonds, no issue. So that's where we speak that client championship is a lot better, more effective, more rewarding for both sides, in the sense that the clients can see that we are now solution providers. We are not just product marketeers, right? We look at the absolute need of a client. Then we decide what is the best product to actually fit their needs. That's where the evolution of the IB industry has gone from then to now. Yeah.
Okay, so but when we take a look at the debt markets business right now, in the last few years, we've seen growth from Hong Leong Investment Bank. Do you see any challenges going forward, especially with central banks turning dovish? Do you think corporates are going to hold back any bond issuance?
Okay, now the key is that when you look at debt, right, it's not something that we talk about holding back. Capacity expansion, business expansion, yes, but debt markets are not just driven by expansion. There's also refinancing in that sense that, you know, most debt sometimes you need to refinance. So the debt markets will always have a certain level of activities, albeit maybe the new ones are all a little bit pulling back mm-hmm. because of the dovish outlook. But at the end of the day, there's always this things that we can do to actually look at how helping clients restructure balance sheets, relook at capital efficiency. And that's where the evolution of the debt markets have become. I mean, you know, like 10 years ago, people don't look at perpetuals. Today is mm-hmm. a wholly new product that is so popular in the market, because that is another way of looking at capital structures that people don't think about. So the whole focus is really looking through the client's needs, helping them better manage their capital. Sometimes in markets like this, it is good that we can actually help corporates to really do capital planning. It doesn't mean that in a market like this, there are no opportunities, because the strong ones will see this as an opportunity to acquire, opportunity to expand, looking out for things that can actually add value to its business. So from our perspective, that's where the debts can come through as well, not just looking at overall business, but you look through what are the things that the customer need from us to actually help them manage their business better?
Right. So no matter what the economic cycle is, there is always room for people need funding no matter what.
Yeah.
Now, speaking about raising funds, right, on the flip side of your business, you have equity markets. And that's not as strong as your debt markets division. Mm. Now, do you have any plans here to bolster this segment in the next 1 or 2 years?
Now, the key is really the equity business is driven by many reasons, right? The reason is that people will shy away from listing if they see that the market's not giving value, right? A lot of times, it's not just about listing. Listing is just a word, but in a true sense, it's companies going out to look for fresh capital, mm-hmm. ready for a bigger platform to grow, and to the investors, giving them a chance to invest in a growing company. But then when the market valuations are so bad, then people would then say, oh, why should I go out and raise funds now? Because I'm giving away value to the investors. So it has to be a balanced mix for two, right? So the number of listings have actually come down over the years in the Malaysian stock market is only because we are trying very hard to actually bring a issuer to the market, mm-hmm. Given the fact that, you know, the kind of pricing that the issuer can get. I mean, of course, from a investment bank standpoint, right, if the company is acceptable to the kind of market valuations that it can get, they will come to the market. But a lot of people are shying away, holding back, only because they feel that they may not get the requisite value that they want to get from the listing exercise itself. So from that side of the story, then what we do is that as an investment bank, we look at the ones who genuinely need. Sometimes equity is not just raised through listing. Mm-hmm. It can be raised through private equity. This is a growing part of the business right now. There are a lot of private equity funds out there looking to help companies grow. So that just the IPO segment is not a true representation. Albeit we know that globally, and even for Malaysia, of course, the equity markets has been having a sort of overhang in the sense that our bursa volume has been down. And that's what we are all working towards as a part of the whole network to help to build through the push through the higher volumes for bursa. I mean, definitely we are part of all this whole market that we would wish to see and hope for bigger participation.
Stockbroking is another big part of your business. But on this scale, you represent maybe around 3.5% to 4% of trading value and about 4% of trading volume. How do equity sales play into your longer-term plans for Hong Leong?
Okay, what happened is that for our stockbroking, of course, the broking business has always been very challenging. Mm. Margins are coming down, brokerage rates are all coming down. And then the fact that most of the players have all gone into digital platforms, that is, of course, something that we acknowledge is here to stay. We are not going to say, you know, that's a short-term interruption. No, digital will definitely come into the effect as a long-term event. But it's just that from our perspective, I think what we are trying to do is that there is a lot of potential with the retail market. I mean, retail volume has come down in terms of the market participant as a whole. When we first started, retail used to be about 27, 26% of the market, but today it's come down to around 20%. So there's still a good 6% of the market that the retailers are actually staying in the sideline, maybe with a perception that there's lack of impetus for them to trade, and people have gone conservative, moving into the safe havens like fixed deposits. But there's a lot more room for the retail market. But the people are only will come out and invest if they see potential returns, right? So that's where we talk about, in a sense that actually there's still room for the broking markets to grow bigger. From Hong Leong's perspective, I think that's what we hope to be. We want to be one of the key retail players. We now have about 10% of the total retail market, albeit that our institutional desk is still giving out our value services to our clients. Albeit that market hasn't been growing that much. It's only because we are restricted to being a domestic player. We do not have a foreign platform. And that's what that's been drawing us back in terms of helping us push for stronger growth in this segment. But definitely on the retail side, we would definitely want to stay on top. And definitely with digitalization, making interface easier, trading easier, access to cheaper trades, that's where we want to be in the longer term. Yeah.
Okay, so as digital eats into the stockbroking business, do you see wealth management offsetting that in investment banking?
Definitely, there's big hope because I really don't think that investment is something like a product that you buy and just buy and use it. Investment, most people hope to make money from investment. So there's still hope that a true full-fledged investment bank that provides wealth management advice will have a bigger championship than a purely online broker just offering a platform for people to trade. I personally don't know how other people feel. I don't buy shares just because I see a platform there and go there and buy. I mean, even when I was young, you need to be educated, right? So the first thing you do, you took out research reports, talk to friends and things like that, and talk to your bankers and all that. So that piece, right, I can't imagine that should change, because even if people have more information, but really sometimes you rely on experts to tell you what are the good things to do. So that's why we hope that us with a bank back, we have the full-fledged investment advisory. So that's where we feel that while digitalization is definitely disrupting the business, but we still believe that ultimately people look to investment as something that will tie with good advice rather than just buying a share. So that's where we feel the big hope is, that wealth management to a certain extent will still defend some of the disruption.
So from this, I'm hearing that relationship building seems to be one of the key elements to all of this, especially for the future of investment banking. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. I'm speaking to Lee Jim Leng, Group Managing Director of Hong Leong Investment Bank. After the break, we're going to dive into the profit numbers, talent management, and the importance of relationship building in the industry. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. In the studio with me is Lee Jim Leng, Group Managing Director of Hong Leong Investment Bank. Now, Jim Leng, diving into your profit numbers, over the last few years, profit seems to have stagnated around the 70 million ringgit mark. Yeah. Are there any plans here specifically for growth on this part?
Actually, I look at investment banking as something that's driven very much by market activities. In fact, if you look at the whole investment banking industry, it's a known factor that, in fact, the overall IB revenues for the whole industry, as published by statistics, has dropped by more than half last year, right? So in that sense, if you look at it, really, IB is not an area where you will see consistent pattern of growth. IB profits, IB revenues are all driven by market activities. Now, if people don't trade, Bursa volume is down. Literally, yes, you can say, talk about grabbing market share, but everything comes with an expense, right? Now, the key is for IB, we juggle between revenue versus return on equity. So, you know, we feel that the right strategy is really to measure yourself among the market activities. I mean, for example, if there's no listing, how could one talk about charting growth every year? So investment banks will not run on projected growth every year. It's really run on how you are measured in terms of market activities, right? So Hong Leong, in a way, if you look at us, we have been fortunate that we have been maintaining our performance because we have actually kept a very niche strategy. We do not want to be an overly big investment bank, because that's when we have a lot of pressure on costs when business is dropping, not because our people can't work hard, but there's really not enough transactions to go around in the market, right? So what we try to do is that look at it from a market projection and say, you know, what will be the number of deals that will sustain the team, and what kind of cost structure we have, how do we make it sustainable? So today, business should talk about more sustainability than rather painting just a picture for growth for investment banks. I mean, really, if you, I believe if you talk to any investment bank chief today, no one can accurately tell you there's a growth path that just leads up that way. I mean, I find it difficult to really say that because no one knows where the markets go. And today, markets are so volatile. If things go well, tomorrow market recovers, all the IB profits will be going up. But the key is in difficult times like that, it's more about how do we keep ourselves afloat? How do we maintain our momentum? How do we make sure that our talent don't get discouraged? And that's a bigger set of issues that we have to deal with. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So talking about costs, right? Cost pressures are up for investment banks or banking in general. And on the cost-income ratio side, yours is, I think, just under about 60%, which is sounds slightly high. How? Why is that so?
Actually, for investment banking, we are already one of the lowest cost operator. We can't compare that to the commercial banks simply because commercial banks' cost-to-income pockets are very different. But if you rank among the IBs, all the IBs in the industry, Hong Leong, I believe, is already one of the lowest in the industry. Now, the key parts about cost in an investment bank is very clear. A big part is talent cost, right? Now, that cost can't move much. It's like, in a way, our biggest fixed cost is people cost. So when revenue dips, the first thing it does is it hits the profit, right? So cost-to-income ratio will fluctuate. But over the years, if revenue stays really flat or decline, that's where you see the cost-income going up. So in that sense, what a lot of people are trying to do right now today is really automation, digitalization, in the wake of really making our businesses more efficient. That's the only way to deal with cost management in an investment bank. So we have done a lot of digitalization efforts like, you know, reducing the number of manpower operation costs in most investment banks. I think that's what most of us are trying to do, really automation in a lot of our processes and how to make ourselves more efficient so that we can deal with the cost increase factors for all the investment banks. Because unfortunately, we can't look at targets like commercial banks that you have loan growth targets and all that. Investment banks are all drilled to do fee-based income, right? And those revenues are very cyclical, very depending on the market activities.
Now, staying on the talent management point, you're talking about using digitalization a lot more. What areas, though, are people still most important when it comes to investment banking?
What I believe that people, that digitalization cannot replace is the mind, right? No matter how we feel that you digitalize it, we find it very hard for someone who wants to do a big ticket M&A to use a computer to do it and say, oh, just go through a buy and sell and say, hey, I wish to sell my company, just put it out there, right? I mean, companies are rarely sold on that basis or rarely bought on that basis. So that's where the investment advisory, where people's skills are still very much required. I mean, I can imagine selling a property, which is as is where is, where you can still put on the portal. But if selling a company is not just as is where is, you really need to look through the fundamentals, the prospects, right? And the whole due diligence exercise, which I find that is harder for a machine to replace as compared to the human. So that's where I find the human talent is still very much in part of that process. Investment banking definitely is here to stay. It's not as if that there will be no investment bankers in the next 5 years. Definitely, business models will shift, but I'm sure we can gain traction from all these challenges to actually look at our business and find value propositions within this cycle itself. Yeah.
Okay, now, you've mentioned this a few times, relationship building. It seems to be a key tenet of your philosophy when it comes to investment banking. And market sources tell me that this is one of your fortes. However, with cost pressures and the changing landscape and digitalization, how far can relationship building actually take you in this landscape?
I think landscape-wise, whether it is difficult or with cost pressure, I think people always value relationship, not from a perspective of just being a friend. It's about a trusted partner. I think that's the vision that I hope to build for the bank. Now, the key is that when you do a transaction, look at what the impact that it's going to create for our issuer and for our investors, right? The key is not about just saying we do a deal. A deal is only a deal, but what is important is really a longer-term relationship is built based on trust. Now, how is trust built? In a sense that a true advisor would then look at really the value proposition for the client, not just about making fees, clearing your books, but really, has this product benefited the client to achieve the financial objectives that it's achieving? And when a client, and I always tell people, your true test is whether you can stand up to your competitors. Now, the market is so transparent, right? You cannot do a deal and not be criticized and judged by your competitors. Simply because, like, for example, you can do a listing, you can do a placement, you can do anything, but your competitors will be the first to go and tell your clients how good was that deal, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to tear through your whole structure and tell, because they're going to use that in your marketing pitch anyway, right? So the key is really about doing good deals that make sense for all parties. So it must be a deal that's defendable to both your clients and your investors. So that's what I feel a good relationship is built upon. It's really built upon real value adding and not just about being good friends. I mean, friendship can be one part, but business is not about friendship. It's really about being a good business partner in all ways. So that's what we want to do. We want our clients to do well. We want our clients to really get value propositions so that they can grow and we can grow with them as well. And that's what we have built our business philosophy on for the most parts of our years, from where we started until now. Yeah.
Holding the clients you have as it is, now there's not a lot of growth that you can experience there, even if you bring wealth management into the fray. And scale seems to be the buzzword when it comes to banking. How much can you scale? How much can you bring in? And the CIMBs, the Maybanks, and the IRHBs, they've all got this scale, whether it's locally or regionally. How far do you see Hong Leong going here? Are we going to see growth within the country or even in the region?
I think when we talk about scaling, there are many ways to look at things. It need not mean just going out the region. Of course, if there are opportunities, we will always look at it. It's not something that we was just shut our mind and said, no, we're not going to look at the region. But we have to look at where our strengths are as well. I mean, a lot of times we fall into a trap of going overseas or expanding overseas just for the sake of expanding. The key is really about our own capabilities. Explore our own SWOT analysis first. Do our own analysis and see whether we are ready. Now, if we feel that the chance is the opportunity is there and we are ready, that should be where the focus is. It's not just about a word called scaling. Then, of course, constantly, even within the domestic markets, we are always looking for new pockets of opportunities, be it in broking industry, IB industry, or even related industries, right? I mean, anything that can help us build new pockets of income, diversify our income base, will always be considered. Because we look at it in terms of consolidation, yes, but most of the consolidation models has been built on cost efficiency rather than revenue building. That, to us, is something that we will look at absolutely if that's something to consider. But really, from our perspective, is there not other models to look at? Look at new avenues of revenue. Mm-hmm. For example, I said wealth management is a new platform. People have not seen that as being a viable model until in the last few years, where we see a lot more sophisticated investors, high net worth individuals looking at diversifying their portfolio of investment to look at selectively investments into fixed income and other types of securities, right? So this is where we talk about. This is still a new avenue of income that's within the industry that we can look at without looking absolutely into just acquisitions or mergers, right? We will definitely explore anything that comes along the way, but it has to make sense for us from a business proposition. It has to tie back to our own capabilities. And we will also look at, in the domestic market, where are the other areas that we are not servicing our clients that we can go into. We will definitely explore that.
Yeah. Now, you're part of a larger financial group. Yeah. Are there any synergies that you feel from the group as a whole? Any way you leverage the other parts of the bank and the financial group?
I think definitely there is plenty of synergies within the group. If you look at our banking business, right, it's about a child growing up, right? You have a process that people start up as an SME, a business startup, going to SME and then heading towards a listing. You see, so in every part, we are like that trusted partner to our clients. We could have financed them from a startup to an SME, and then they would then find themselves being challenged in terms of further growth because they lack that resources and infrastructure and the capabilities, just like us talking about ourselves going overseas, right? Mm-hmm. People like them would sit in the same position like us, wanting to grow, but yet where to head to. So people like us will come in, and this is where the bank will come in to work together with us to actually look through and a whole process and a path of entrepreneurizing this SME to grow to the next level, become a listed entity. For example, UWC, for example, is a Hong Leong client, which they feel that they're in ready for that next stage of growth. And that's where Hong Leong IB will come in, help them to get a platform, list them on Bursa. And that's where they are. They will be transformed to the next stage because once you're in a listed entity status, you have the capital markets to tap for equity and debt. So that's where you know, you see that there's a lot of complementary things that we can do, synergies, mm-hmm. Even within the other parts of the group, provided we are competitive and competent.
Chim Ling, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure talking to you and I really appreciate the time.
Equally my pleasure to be here and good luck.
I've been speaking to Lee Jim Ling, the Group Managing Director of Hong Leong Investment Bank. This is The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanasan for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.